So now Iowa has been abandoned for New Hampshire. But for months, reporters have been trekking to the Granite State, longtime locus of the first primary. Officially, the big event is the second Tuesday in March, but state law empowers New Hampshire's Secretary of State to move it up to ensure that it takes place at least 7 days before any, quote, similar election in any other state. The Iowa caucuses don't count. Brooke was visiting New Hampshire Public Radio back in December of 2007. She'd always assumed that Granite Staters, once again subsumed in campaign frenzy, would loathe reporters. She was wrong. In fact, she discovered how passionate they were about their primary, or rather, the primacy of their primary. All the more so because many people, especially Democrats, don't believe New Hampshire should always be first, since its white, rural, relatively affluent citizenry doesn't especially reflect the party's rank and file. Often other states do try to leapfrog over New Hampshire. Back in 2007, it was Michigan, which moved its primary to January 15th. Per state law, New Hampshire responded by moving its to the 8th. Here's Brooke's piece from 2007.
New Hampshire's state emblem is a great stone face carved by nature into a series of cliffs called the Old Man of the Mountain. Wouldn't he, the most literal of Granite Staters, resent being a sideshow in the electoral circus?
I think sometimes even the ones who claim to be annoyed are secretly quite proud of the primary. Hey, Mabel, we may be on with Katie Couric tonight.
Joe McQuaid is the publisher of the Manchester Union Leader.
Did you see Charlie Gibson? He's broadcasting from the top of the Victory parking garage.
What do you think would happen to the state psyche should New Hampshire no longer be first?
Too terrible to contemplate. It's like saying, what would happen if the Old Man of the Mountain fell down? Whoops, wait a minute. He did fall down.
When reporters want the word on the New Hampshire street, it's too cold on the street. In Manchester, they go to eateries like the Merrimack, Pappy's Pizza, and the Red Arrow. I went to all three. At the Merrimack, I met Betsy Gothier.
How would you feel if New Hampshire were no longer the first primary and the soap opera moved elsewhere?
No, I wouldn't like that. We like to be first.
Do you think that you're qualified to be first, to speak for the rest of the nation?
Absolutely.
What makes you say that?
We've been doing it for many, many years.
Doesn't necessarily mean you're good at it.
Oh, no, but we are.
At Pappy's Pizza, I asked Joe Lamont if he thought his access to the candidates qualified him to cast a primary vote that has more impact than the primary votes of thousands of other Americans combined.
Oh, yeah. And then some. I know as much as they do, so.
About urban poverty, racial issues, immigration.
Yeah, I think I have a good handle on all of that, yeah.
As somebody who lives in New York, I never reach out and touch any candidate because they don't care what I think and they don't care about my vote. So I think it's unfair that they only care about yours.
Oh, well, move to New Hampshire.
And at the legendary Red Arrow Diner, I asked 18-year-old Joseph David Frank Bora, a.k.a. Joner, and Eric Werkula if they were bothered by all the media attention.
You think we don't need this every once in a while? Come on, we need the self-esteem.
If it wasn't for skiing and maple syrup, no one would come to New Hampshire other than for the primaries.
And the leaves.
The leaves are nice.
Foliage notwithstanding, the people of New Hampshire are political animals.
New Hampshire, as you probably know, has the third largest English-speaking deliberative body in the world.
Manchester Union Leader publisher Joe McQuaid.
I can never remember the other two. I think one is Congress and one may be the British Parliament. We have 400 reps, 24 state senators. If you're not in the legislature in New Hampshire, your uncle is.
One representative for every 3,089 citizens. Apply that same ratio to California, they'd have to elect 12,000.
It was this belief a long time ago that the more people here who could share the government, the better. And so that makes for a different environment.
New Hampshire's Secretary of State, Bill Gardner, sets the date for the primary. It's written into the law that it shall occur a week before every other primary. For Gardner, it's not just state law, it's natural law.
There's a reason why the Kentucky Derby is in Kentucky. There's a reason why the Statue of Liberty is in New York. There are other historic harbors, Baltimore, New Orleans. If they said it's not fair that the Statue of Liberty is always in New York, so we need to tow it to Baltimore for a few years, let it be rotated. Then we'll tow it to New Orleans and let New Orleans have it for a few years. Well, there's a reason why it's in New York Harbor. And there's a reason why this unique political culture is here and is nowhere else.
That reason has everything to do with history. Robert La Follette, the progressive governor of Wisconsin, created the first primary in 1905 so that the people, rather than the party bosses, could choose the candidates. A lot of states jumped on the bandwagon, but then jumped off again. By the 50s and 60s, even the 70s, only a few states held primaries. What happened?
They'd have one primary, some states maybe two, and then the big shots. The party leaders would go to the legislature and say, look, it's costing a lot of money to have the people do this, and they don't participate in high numbers. Let us have the power back. And so state after state gave the power back. Well, in this state, they said, no, we want to make this decision, and we're going to keep it. Then after we've had it for a half a century, all of a sudden, a state that's bigger and more powerful says they should have it. We just said, no. We never took it from anyone else. We don't think it's right to take it from us, and we're going to protect it. The American dream that any person's son or daughter can someday grow up to be president, there's a place that can happen, and it's here. When Jimmy Carter came here, no one had any idea who he was. But he went from place to place and talked about why he was running and who he was, you know, Jimmy who, and that demonstrated his character. And he ends up winning this primary.
By the time I finally got to New Hampshire Public Radio, I was convinced that preserving the New Hampshire primary was the only way to save American democracy. NHPR executive editor John Greenberg told me I may have OD'd on the state Kool-Aid.
The Kool-Aid is that you think that anybody who has great communication skills and great convictions can come into New Hampshire, meet enough people, and out of whole cloth, generate a presidential campaign. Just simply by that quintessential contact of aspiring politician and the people. And it doesn't work that way.
He says Jimmy Carter probably couldn't have pulled off his victory today. There's not enough time now between New Hampshire's primary and all the rest to build the necessary momentum.
I mean, for example, John McCain won in New Hampshire in 2000. But because he couldn't convert that quickly enough into a campaign organization with money, with advertising in South Carolina, he died in South Carolina. That's the point at which the New Hampshire myth gets beaten down by reality.
Granite staters are not immune to the power of campaign money, ads, and polls, says Greenberg, but they have built up more resistance than those in other states. And of course, there's that political culture, decades of asking tough questions of presidential contenders face to face.
So over the past 50 years, what has developed in this state is something that can't just simply be replicated elsewhere. Because you say to the people of that state, oh, now you're first.
And that's the conclusion of a Granite Stater who hasn't drunk the Kool-Aid. Now a final word from the man with the recipe, Secretary of State Bill Gardner.
You can come up with all kinds of reasons why it doesn't make sense that it's this privilege every 4 years and it's not fair that it's the same place. But there are things in life that you have to experience. And this is one of them. Oliver Wendell Holmes once said that an ounce of history is worth a pound of logic.
Gardner says he will move the primary as early as he has to. Yes, even to the 4th of July to preserve it. Eventually, though, even things that seem eternal crumble under constant pressure. The ancient stone face called the Old Man of the Mountain collapsed in 2003. But New Hampshire losing the first primary? I think Gardner will be a lot harder to crack.
Coming up, the life of a journalist whose death became a piece of propaganda. This is On the Media. Live or die.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.